So let's turn to the Word of God. In Luke chapter 2, we'll read the Christmas narrative and we'll start our study of the Word of God together. So Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch of their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and to earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds say to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who had it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as was told to them. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this news that was announced to the shepherds, the news of a Savior being born for us, the news that brings us joy, the news that is the reason we're here together. Lord, thank you so much for coming down. Lord, we didn't invite you. We didn't even ask you to come, but you so loved us and you did. So humble was the way you came that we didn't even recognize you. The Savior, you are Savior lying in the manger. So Lord, as we look back to the announcement of this good news, Lord, we just want to, like the shepherds did, just praise you and glorify your name. We just want to be those who receive your joy. Lord, we just want to be those on whom your glory shines, on whom your light shines. We want to be channels through whom your glory shines, O Lord. So I ask that you glorify your name through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Around times like this, when we return to the nativity story, and especially through a Christmas like this one is like no other. We get to realize how actively God is involved in our affairs. We get to be reminded of his faithfulness, how that this promise that was made thousands of years ago actually comes to pass. When we see the glory of the Lord shining upon the shepherds and the announcement is made, we get to experience the joy that they did, experience. Out there minding their sheep, and there you go, the glory of the Lord shines upon them to bring them good news that brings them joy, that a Savior was born for them. And we can imagine Joseph and Mary making this journey, not a pleasant one for an expectant mom traveling miles to be registered for tax. The wedding has not yet happened, so maybe she had to endure the scorn and the suspicion that came from friends and relatives and everybody who was suspicious. Joseph himself taking the most. But deep in their hearts, they knew what God was doing. Many didn't, but they did know because God announced it to them. And our study is going to be from verses 8 to 20 when the announcement was made to the shepherds. So their night was interrupted. The dark, restful night was interrupted by the glory of the Lord shining in them. In the account of Matthew, we read about the wise men. The announcement was made to them by a star. Now, recently, a few days ago, I'm told that there was this phenomenon that happens in thousands of years, once in thousands of years, and two planets come together. And some said that could have been the case in the days of the wise men. These planets, you know, aligned to cause a glare in the sky, and they knew for sure this meant something. This is not the usual, you know, North Star or whichever star that shines the most at a particular time of the year. And they knew for sure that, you know what, something is happening. We need to go down to Jerusalem and find out. A star led them to Bethlehem. The Jews, a good number of them, missed it. In fact, they had to inquire to find directions. But to the shepherds, a single announcement to a group of shepherds, just waiting for the sunrise so they would, you know, try to find pasture for their sheep. The glory of the Lord shines upon them. That's the theme of our study this morning, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is His brilliance. It is His presence. We talk about the presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord quite often manifests with light, blinding light. And we see that in a few places in scriptures. We'll see Jesus radiating the glory of the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw Moses in Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like the consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. This blinding brilliance announcing the presence of God among them. Something that probably they've read before, but never, ever experienced. So that was the way God chose to make this announcement, to quite a humble audience. The glory of the Lord was in Exodus in the tabernacle. That was the only place they would see it. Later on in the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 3, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." At the inauguration of the tabernacle, later on in the temple, God comes down with His shining presence, this brilliant light hovering over the temple and the tabernacle. And that was Him saying, I'm here. I'm here to be with you. That was what Moses prayed for when he had interacted not so much with God, and he really wanted to, you know, have a familiar grip on God. He said, "God, I want to see Your glory. I want to see Your beauty. I want to see Your presence. I want to see Your light. I want to see Your face." So bold. I mean, we can pray, "God, I want to see Your face." What if God chose to do that? How would you respond? "Lord, I want to see Your hand." And God well says, "I'm going to bring My hand." And there you go, a huge arm. Wouldn't you just drop dead? The shepherds weren't even asking Moses asked, "I want to see Your glory, Lord." They didn't even expect it. And the glory of the Lord wasn't as much present with them for hundreds of years. Remember, during this time, the temple had been desecrated for 400 years. There was no prophet sent to the nation of Israel. Their worship was interrupted. In fact, not as enjoyable and pure and much anticipated like it was in the days of David. A boring night for them. And I think through seasons like this, that's our craving. Lord, we want to see Your hand. Lord, we want to see Your power manifested among us. We want to see You. We want to see Your brilliance through such a dark season. We want some good news, Lord. I mean, don't You want some good news? I want some good news. Psalm 138, verses 45. "All the kings of the earth shall praise You, Lord, when they hear the words of Your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of God." Great is the glory of God. Great is His beauty, His light, His presence, His power, His everything. Everything about Himself is great. This announcement, this is the only place in the Bible that such an announcement is made. Only one time. When angels, I'm sure they're even surprised, like, "We've been summoned to go make an announcement." The announcement of the birth of a Savior. And these Bethlehem shepherds were said to be the ones who raised the sheep that were for sacrifice in the temple, very close to the temple. Raising sheep that will be eventually slaughtered to atone for the sins of the nation, including them. And there you go, the greatness of God shines around them. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, Isaiah would say to the nation, "Arise, shine, for Your light has come. Get up and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Much like it was for the shepherds. In fact, pretty much a fulfillment of what Isaiah had told the nation of Israel years before it happened. Get up. Wake up. There's a light that is shining among us, upon us. It's the glory of the Lord. You know, much as we may want such to happen, this spectacular. So I recently was with somebody who, in a way, they neglect the authority of the Word of God, but they're looking out for the spectacular. They're looking out for something that, you know, demonstrates or, in a way, makes the power of God or the presence of God or the glory of God visible. And you know, he was showing me a picture. It was a short video. And it was about this preacher who was wearing a white suit. Now, if you wear a white suit and you have, like, you know, a good camera around you and there are some lights, obviously it's going to cause a glow because of the white. And to them, they're like, man, look at the glory of God shining upon this guy. And I'm like, no, that's a white suit. And some lights and, you know, it's just a reflection of the brilliance of the, you know, the shot into, you know, the camera and all. But as if we all want to see that. But we've already seen it. We've already seen it happening. And much as the glory of the Lord was quite visible to them, in Christ somehow it was going to be veiled. That was going to be God's way of doing it. So I'm thinking the shepherds were like, wow, if you know, just the announcement was that grand, if angels came down and God shone upon us, maybe we'll get to the manger and there's going to be this glowing baby. We can use him as a torch when it's in a dark night. You know, because you know how our minds work. When God shows you something, then you start making up something else in your own mind. And we see this in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You'd expect this is going to be a super kid. And we beheld his glory. We looked at who he is. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory that shone over the tabernacle, that filled the temple. The glory that appeared to many through visions and dreams even, comes in form of a baby, normal. And many looked at him and did not even imagine who would be the one. And we all would have fell in the same trap. And maybe this happens to you, it happens to me. You talk to someone on the phone and all of a sudden your mind has drawn the picture of this person. And then you meet the person and you're quite disappointed. That's just us, right? You're imagining this person and, you know, you have the image crafted in your head. The reality is different. This is the glory of God among us. It's Jesus. If he was born in our day, he would have been just like any of us. There's nothing striking about his appearance. It was veiled. Now imagine the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ was actually walking around with his full glory, just glowing around all day, all night for 3 years until he died on the cross. Would have been quite a scene. Would have been different. And much as we have the longing to see something like this, tell you what, it's actually happening. The glory of the Lord is shining upon us. His name is Jesus. He is our Savior. We look back just like the shepherds did with joy. This actually happened. And then the angel saying, after the glory of the Lord appears, God himself, the light from his throne, not just the angelic light, the light from the throne of God, the light that shone on Paul when he was still Saul. And somebody says how, you know, with media and entertainment, there's always an imitation, that there's always an effort from men to imitate the light that shines around God. You've seen how, you know, grand stages have quite a lot of lighting. They even create images from these lightings these days. Somehow God planting in us the picture of his beauty, and then we want to recreate it, but we can't because it's in a person, it's in Jesus. That was just to get our attention. That was just a sign that, hey, I'm doing something. And you have to look this direction. When God would reveal his glory to just a few of them, the Mount of Transfiguration, they were like, you know what? This is so beautiful. You know what we need to do? Let's just build tabernacles up there. Let's just stay here for the rest of our lives. And sometimes God will make his presence among us so tangible that we just want to stay there. Maybe through a song, through an experience, through prayer, through worship, through his word, and you're like, I just want to stick to that verse for the next, I just want to sit here and look at that verse for the next 10 years. That will be sufficient for me. And then the angels sing, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill, or congratulations toward men. You're going to be saved. I mean, the mystery of our salvation was something that not even the angels would ever figure out. And the angels themselves proclaim, you know what? Peace is coming, and goodwill, God's mercy, God's care toward men. Christians, at Christmas time, we get to remember and to celebrate God's glory shining upon us. You may not feel like it. Not every day do we wake up and we feel so spiritually empowered, and you're thinking, man, I feel so inspired. I feel so holy. I feel so righteous. I feel so high in the spirit. Sometimes you just have to drag along a day. Sometimes it's just gloom. Just like we've seen through the book of Isaiah. Last night, I was going home, and this lady, she later on told me the story. Her husband had just bought her a new car. And out of excitement, she crashed it right in front of me. She went too fast, lost control of it, and poof. Sometimes, just like that. I'm like, wow, that was one ruined Christmas, wasn't it? She just got it a day before yesterday. And today's Christmas, do you think, I don't know when she was running to shop, whatever it is. Sometimes life is just like that. It's a crash. I remember losing my grandmother on Christmas Day, just like this, an afternoon, and she passed years ago. That doesn't feel like the glory of the Lord was shining upon me. It doesn't feel like the glory of the Lord was shining upon her. But truth is, he is. He is shining upon us. And just like Isaiah wrote, wake up, rise. God is shining among us as his church. Just like in John, the word became flesh, and we looked at him, not in his full glare, veiled as a human being, and that was God's glory among us. In scripture, we see quite often angels manifest in some spectacular ways. A soldier holding a sword, a mighty creature in the sky, and so many captivating ways. Other times, just human beings walking or knocking on your door. It doesn't look like an angel, but you know what? An angel in a human form making an announcement. Let's be conscious. Let's be aware of God's glory shining upon us, Christians. We may not feel like, we may not even see and say, yeah, that's God's glory. I mean, Joseph and Mary taking a journey down to be registered, and then obviously going to pay taxes, doesn't seem like much is happening. But God somehow arranges his spectacular through the ordinary, an ordinary flow of a day. And when it happens, always we are shocked. We're not even expecting anything, nothing grand, but that's just how God works. And then says there, the response of the shepherds from verse 15, when the angels had gone, the sky is back to normal, it's dark again. They could have just said, wow, that was nice, right? Have you ever been a witness of something so grand and you're like, wow, that was nice, and then you just go back to your business? Like, oh, that's nice. You know, some people are more excitable than others. So some of us, you see something exciting and you're like, oh. So let's say Olympics is coming, maybe the Premiership. I just want to watch the goals. I just want to wait for the end of the match and then I watch the clips when they scored. And that's exciting for me. Like, I just want to see the goal scored. Some people want to stay the whole 120 minutes or 200 minutes. You're like, what are you doing? You first go and cook when you feel like it's a goal, and you come and watch the goal, and then you go back to your business. And you hear people shouting like, oh, what is happening? It's a goal. So they could have said, oh, that was nice. Wasn't that nice, guys, shepherds? Are your sheep okay? Somebody said they not even speak with doubt. They did not even respond with doubt. They're like, oh, maybe that is something that we need to think about or go look at. You know what? They said, let us now go. Imagine they're going to abandon their sheep. I don't think anyone of them was willing to wait and say, you know, okay, you guys go. Let me stay wash over the sheep. And then when you guys come, and then I'll go. I think all of them, you know what? Those angels will have to watch over this sheep. We need to go, all of us. and off they ran. And that speaks of the urgency they had. Maybe this is something that they longed for. Let us go see this thing which has come to pass, not which maybe has come to pass, which could come to pass, which has come to pass. The word of God was spoken by angels to this man, and they said, you know what? That is true. The faith, the urgency of the shepherd is quite an inspiration for me. I mean, sometimes God will say to me, God, do something, and I'm thinking, can I do it next week? All of you are like that, right? Can I please do it next week? Can I first finish something? They see something that they knew for sure God was doing, and they're like, you know what? Let us now is the time. You know, through a dark season like this, if somebody came out and said, you know what, something's happening around us and you need to go see it, God is doing something. I mean, how many of us would respond with urgency? Let us now go. I mean, how many of us would do that? Let's first finish our Christmas service, right? Let's first go home and have lunch and then we can go. Let's first finish something and then we'll go. Let us go now and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. The shining light from the glory, I mean, from the throne of God, the angels singing along, for sure they knew this was God making known something to us. And it requires us to react urgently. There was one particular time when one of my four boys was being born, and it was a different, somehow she had the privilege of being delivered by one particular midwife. She wasn't on duty that night, and I was trying to tell these ladies when we got to hospital that, you know what, my wife is going to give birth very soon. Please take care of her. But we're like, oh yeah, we've had that before, you know. All of them come like that, right? I'm like, no, she's actually, this baby's coming out very soon. And one of them just walked away. Yeah, put your file there. Well, until they realized actually this is a baby coming. And they had to snatch her very quick and deliver the baby. Not so many times do we respond with urgency, but God requires us to when He speaks anything to us. Good news, something that brings joy, saving the world. They didn't even have time to meditate. They didn't even have time to pray. They didn't even have time to even ask for a sign. So there must have been, we saw Isaiah 7, ask for a sign. The king was told. He doesn't ask for a sign. God gives him a sign. You know, sometimes God speaks to us. Maybe I should be speaking, you know, just for me. God speaks to me and I'm thinking, could you please give me a sign? I know for sure it's God's voice, and then I'm there asking for another sign. The shepherds didn't even have time to, sometimes I want to pray, okay, God, if this is, I'm going to, you know, pray, as in, I'm going to talk to you. And you're thinking, but God talked to me already. Why do you have to talk to Him back? That's just, you know, how we quite often respond to something that is very clear God is doing among us. Let's first pray and let's first meditate. Let's first ask for a sign and all those things. The shepherds, very simple faith. I like their innocent and simple faith. Let's just go. And I know some people who have such faith and they live a very adventurous Christian life. They don't ask any questions. The moment they hear anything from God, off they're gone. And you're thinking, hey, I want to be like that. I want to see something and off I go. I don't have to waste time, you know, praying and then fasting and seeking clarification. I just want to go. The angels give them a sign. This is a sign. Obviously, many babies would be born through such a time as that. Many babies would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's just how babies are wrapped at birth, just to keep them warm and tight and so they feel secure and adapt to the environment. There's one major sign. It's going to be lying in a manger. So you can imagine the shepherds going around looking for the baby. Is there a newborn baby here? Yeah. Let's see. Oh, it's a baby called, don't worry. Congratulations, cute baby. We're looking for one particular one. Is there a baby born here? Yeah. Oh, that's a baby girl. I don't know if you've seen, people can be funny. You've seen that comic illustration of the worst that could ever happen at Christmas time. And instead of a baby boy, it's a girl of all times. You can imagine. Oh, that's a girl. No, it's not Christ. Let's move on to the next tent. And then they eventually, looking around for one sign, the baby wrapped in a manger. There you go. And Mary was there. Joseph was there. The animals were there. They didn't even have time to prepare a gift, did they? Maybe they brought some sheep as gifts. We're not told, but maybe they did bring some sheep as gifts to Jesus or to Joseph and Mary. They saw the glory of the Lord wrapped in form of a baby. Not as exciting as the announcement. Now, babies are cute when they're born. I keep telling the story of a friend. He's a foreigner. And I think it was the first time he had seen a black baby at birth. And this baby was white. And the guy kept looking at me and looking at, and he was, is this your baby? You know, as in black babies need to be born black kind of a thing, right? I think he felt like pulling me aside and asking me, are you sure this is your baby? You could tell in his face. The announcement, very exciting. The reality, a normal baby in a manger of all places, not a cot, not a fancy baby carrier, in an animal feeding trough. The combination of God's glory shining upon them and the angelic announcement was captivating. Looking at a baby, I'm like, yeah, a baby. But that was God right there among them, with them. Psalm 95 verse 1, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. An invitation to respond urgently, to respond quickly in view of seeing, you know, God among them. Just gathering at the tabernacle to see blood being shed, lots of blood from lots of animals. But they walked up the tabernacle. They walked up Jerusalem with joy, with shouting, with singing. And as they came along the way, later on the story is told of Mary and Joseph walking miles to go to Jerusalem to present Jesus the temple. And, you know, walking back home, they couldn't even find him. And if, you know, you left home early, you walked around maybe a day early. If you come from so far away, you're thinking, I'm going to leave on Friday, so by Sunday I'm there. And as you walked along, you just kept inviting people, let us go. Let us go to church. Let us go to the temple. Let's go to the tabernacle. Like, get up now. Psalm 95 verse 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. That was the urgency that they had. They could have waited a day later, could have waited for a week later. The baby is going to be still there, right? But told the wise men probably a year plus later, the baby was still there. Not so with the shepherd, let us go now. And I think God is reminding us to respond with urgency through this Christmas. That when he's doing something, let's respond just like the shepherds did. Let us go now. Let's go now to worship. I don't know about you, but Sunday mornings is when you really don't want to wake up. Did you wake up with so much eagerness? Not all the time. Some Sundays are like, oh, I wish it wasn't a Sunday. We even have a dream it's not a Sunday. If you serve regularly on Sunday mornings, it's always opportunity to have quite interesting dreams. So there's one Sunday morning I dreamt that I was coming and then my car broke down and there's no fuel and whatever. I mean, everything went wrong. And it was time to preach. And you know how in your dream you can actually, you know, travel? Like you're stuck at the road, but you can actually see what's happening at church at the same time. And the people are waiting and the pastor is not there. So I can imagine I'm stuck on the road in my dream, but I can see the people waiting for me at church. Sometimes not so much eagerness even to get up, yet we know for sure we need to go. We go to church. And we drag. But God is calling us to urgency. In fact, you've watched many, maybe like me, I've watched many Billy Graham crusades, and he would tell people, come now. Don't wait. Not tomorrow. And if you're at the back, we'll wait a few more minutes. Just get up and come now. And as the days draw near and near to Christ's second return, or even the rapture, we need to learn how to respond with more urgency. Because I'm sure God is going to do so many grand things among us. We just have to respond at the time he calls. No delay. The psalmist says, you know what? He left a week early, maybe a few days early to go to the tabernacle. It was going to be a feast or to the temple. Let us go. Come now. In Romans chapter 13 verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as the day. Not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Let us now, having received the announcement, having received the good news, having viewed the glory of the Lord, there are things that we have to drop and run another direction. And all of us, there are things probably that we're holding on to and God is saying, let us now drop them. Let us now let go of them and let us now run a different direction together. Through seasons like this are opportunities for new beginnings, opportunities to adapt or adopt new principles. Through seasons like this, we get to make some resolutions. Nobody even wants to say Happy New Year. Nobody wants to say that 2021 is going to be your year. Not even me. But you know what? Let us now. Let us now anticipate more from God. Let us now drop everything else that God was telling us to drop. The storm that was blowing and that's still blowing is telling us to do something. And let us now do it. Let us now rearrange our priorities. Let us now make new commitments. Let us now get into new ventures. Let us now start thinking a lot more soberly. Just like the writer of Romans says, Paul says, you know what? We know for sure the night is far spent. The morning is coming soon. His return is at hand. Let us now, let us cast off everything that is useless and let us walk now properly as in the day. And that's the new direction God is taking us. And last in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The shepherds didn't go back to sleep. Sometimes our nights are interrupted and we're thinking, I wish I'd just continued my sleep. If you're like me, I never like anything interrupting my sleep. Well, it's just a short nap. Don't like it. In fact, I've even trained my kids to not wake me up when I'm asleep. I tell them, Daddy's going to sleep. And they're like, oh yeah, now we know. Nobody's going to knock on that door. But they do, you know, obviously. Oh, we just forgot something, you know. And God is telling us to not go back to sleep. I think the storm has caused us to wake up. If we're in deep slumber, God has been calling us to, you know, just wake up. You've been sleeping, especially His church. And deep sleep. I don't know if you know some deep sleepers, you literally almost have to turn their bed upside down for them to wake up. You have to set for them 6 alarms. Let us not go back to sleep, just like the shepherds. Let us go. Let us go seek the Lord. Not that He's hidden, we'll find Him. We have signs all over us. They had the sign of a babe born in a manger. We have signs all over us. I mean, how many signs have we seen so far in Scripture? We didn't even ask for the signs, and God said, you go, I'll give you a sign. You'll find Him. Let us go now and seek the Lord. Let us go. Let us keep on the go. Those were the very last words of Jesus Christ. Go now. Go now and make disciples of all nations. You have been fed. You've been protected. You've been provided for. You've been cared for. You have been nurtured. You have been prepared. Now go. We have to live with, we'll study 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which talk about second return and rapture and all these end time events and how you can imagine these Christians were anticipating that to happen years ago. Just a few decades after Jesus had rose from the dead and ascended. Just a few decades were thinking He's coming back again. How do you like that? Just 50, 60, 70 years when they were thinking. Some of them were actually thinking that missed His second coming. They were thinking they've been left behind. How about His church who know that, you know what, this is way closer than it was last year, than it was 10 years ago. Let us be sober and watchful. Let us be attentive. We can distract ourselves in so many ways. So many ways. We can waste our time in so many ways. And I think as the storm blows, obviously, there's going to be a calm after the storm. I think we as His children have to rearrange our entire lives and align them to be urgent towards everything God wants us to do. No delay. No going back to sleep. Not having anything in front of us that's going to distract us. Laying our lives in complete surrender to Him, just like the shepherds do. And off they run, and they return, glorifying. They were just so amazed. What a privilege it was, and they were probably talking, can you imagine it's us who get to make this announcement? It's only a few of us who saw this light from heaven, a glimpse of God's throne. It's only us to whom the angels made the announcement, and then we ran and found a baby. The wise men would come later. Can you imagine a privilege like this one? They left off praising and glorifying the Lord for all the things that they had had and seen, as was told to them. And obviously, Mary is just overwhelmed with the reality of the announcement that was made to her by an angel coming to pass. She's just full of wonder, thinking, this is the Savior. This is Christ. This is Emmanuel. So this Christmas, like no other, let's be constantly aware of God's glory shining around us. We may not feel like it. It may be on a very dark night, through a very dark season like this one. We have to be constantly aware God's glory shines around us. Amen. The second thing, our call to respond with urgency. When you hear God's voice, act immediately. Immediately. Somebody said, you can never act too quickly. Too quickly to run ahead of God. Once you've had God, you've seen God, get to work. Let us now. Let us now, as this year comes to a close and a new one comes before us as a gift, as a present to God. And I'm thinking, so at the end of 2021, so everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to be like, you know, this is going to be your year, you know, it's going to be. So they say 2020 was the year of doubles, right? 2022, you know, and they have all these mathematics they do, you know, spiritual mathematics. So 2021 is what? So everybody's afraid. I tell you what, God's call for us to act immediately is not going to change. It remains the same. And I think the one thing that God is removing from us is just this aspect of being disillusioned, distracted by things that actually don't matter. Regardless of what the new year brings, the urgency for us to be ready to act, to go, remains the same. Amen? Merry Christmas. Let's stand and pray. So right now, you can let us go now and what? Eat? Lord, thank you so much for the joy that you bring. Gladness of heart. What an announcement. What a privilege for us to see your glory shining from your throne. And that glory that you did shine with the shepherds shines upon us, shines upon your church. The darkness does not even realize that your glory is shining. For those who live in darkness, those who live in the shadow of death, have seen a great light. We've seen your glory. And I pray, Lord, that many may do that. Not so much as exciting as it was last year, but maybe this could be the way that you're getting so many people's attention. So we're not lost in just meaningless celebrations, but meaningful meditation and worship and commitment. Lord, a response to have our lives constantly sober and prepared and anticipating your soon return. Going around your business, oh Lord, dropping everything that is not necessary, that is completely hindering or impeding our progress, but putting on the swiftness of feet ready to preach the gospel, ready to go out and look for those who are lost and blinded, discouraged and down. So Lord, everything may not have happened as we did expect, but one thing remains, your glory shines around us and you call us to urgency more than the people did thousands of years ago. You're calling us to be attentive. So Lord, help us, fill us with your spirit, pour down, rain down your spirit upon us, upon your church. Stir us up, O God. As this storm comes to pass, Lord, I pray that many hearts will be on fire for you. Many may be consumed by your glory, your fire, your flame. Lord, that in us and through us you may do a unique and new work, a big and abundant harvest, O God, a transformation, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.